I'm going to invite you, as you're still standing, real quickly to open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to be in chapter 17 this evening. First Samuel chapter 17. Is everybody there? Still hear a few pages turning, so we'll wait a couple more seconds. First Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start reading in verse 20. This is the word of the Lord. So David rose early in the morning, and he left the sheep with a keeper. And he took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper. And he ran to the army and he came and greeted his brothers. Then he talked with them. There was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man and David, and he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" You can be seated this evening. A couple of days ago, something fairly interesting happened to me at work. Every year, the company that I work for dedicates a week to helping nonprofit organizations in the community. We've done events and helped organizations like Big Brothers, Big Sisters. We've done works at different schools. And this year, an organization here in the city of Albuquerque that helps battered women was selected for us to help. So our job at work was to assemble what we called emergency bags. It was a backpack full of necessities that someone might need when they're running away from their home because their lives are in danger or because they fear violence. So every team in my department volunteered a certain amount of time to fill these bags and get them ready for them to be picked up by this organization. My team went into the facility that they had and we were assembling these bags, and I heard one of my team members say, "This is messed up." And I thought to myself, what did they mean it was messed up? So I stopped everybody in their tracks from what they were doing and I told them, "You need to take a seat. Because I don't think that we understand the severity or the need of what it is that we're doing." One of the individuals that's on my team said, "We don't understand what's going on, but picture yourself in an environment where you're getting beaten and you have to get your children and you have to escape from that dangerous environment, and you can only take a few things. What are the things that you would pick out?" And you go to a strange place where they're offering you help and refuge, and you don't have anything more than the clothes on your back and a few things you were able to take with you. How much do you think somebody would appreciate the things that we have put together in this bag? And I told my team, I said, you're getting paid to do this. You're in an air-conditioned environment and you're doing this. And you still have the nerve, one of you, to say that this is messed up. I don't care, I told them, if you're a Christian. I don't care if you believe in karma. I don't care if you believe that if you do good to others, that it'll be done back to you. You gotta believe that if you do something good for somebody, something good's gonna come back to you. And I started to think not only about the condition of the people that are my team, but I started to think about the condition of the society that we live in. Because we live in a narcissistic society where people are just thinking about themselves. We live in a society where people are more concerned with selfies than they are their community that they live in. We live in a society where people are more concerned about them and theirs than they are in the events that are taking place around them. You see, in history, every notable person that ever made a name for himself was always tied in to a cause. They weren't famous for just being themselves. You see, something is happening in the world that we live in today, that there are people that are famous for doing nothing. I'll give you an example. There is a family that has a TV show and millions of followers on social media that don't do anything but talk about their lives, and they're some of the most famous people on the face of the earth. One of them just recently had a baby, and I think that they broke the record for likes on their Instagram page, because people are so consumed with what's going on in that family's life, they don't do anything. They do for themselves, but still millions of people follow their everyday actions. People don't need to see a picture of you washing your hair. But still, people tune in to those kind of things. Because we live in a society where it's all about us and not about other people. Martin Luther King Jr., one of the most notable people in our time, was not famous because of himself, but because he was tied into a cause. Cesar Chavez, that led the United Farm Workers of America, was notable not because he did something for himself, but because he did something for the people that he represented. You see, not only them, but look at Mother Teresa that helped the lepers in Calcutta and India. She wasn't famous because of who she was as a person, but because of the cause that she was associated with and the things that she did for other people. But you see, not only is it a societal thing where people are consumed about themselves, it's actually crept into the church, where we have people that have started coming to church and they don't want to hear the words sacrifice anymore. They don't want to hear about commitment anymore. They don't want to hear about giving your life for the cause of the cross or the cause of Christ. They get uncomfortable and they'll move from church to church until they hear a message that doesn't require any sacrifice from them. Until they hear a message that doesn't inconvenience them. Until they go to a church where everybody loves them. But sometimes we have people in our church that want a trophy just for showing up. They want a trophy because they show up on a Sunday morning and they will get mad and stop coming to our church if they don't get a parking in the front where it's close to the door. Because we don't want to be inconvenienced. Imagine, if you will, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that we need to run the race that is before us. Because there are people that have gone on before us, that have a testimony full of sacrifice and commitment, that are telling people like us that we can make it too. But what kind of a testimony are we going to have in front of such a great cloud of witnesses?
Are we going to have the same kind of testimony that we laid down our lives, that we were willing to sacrifice, that we were willing to plant, that we were willing to give? Or are we just going to say, well, I made it, but all I did was show up to church? You know, those of us that work out there and have a jobs, we get up early every morning, pack our lunch, get dressed, drive through traffic, honk at people, get mad if they cut us off because we're in a rush to get to work on time. But come Sunday morning, prayer is at 9 o'clock, service starts at 10 o'clock, but come Sunday morning, we're like, it doesn't matter if I'm 5 minutes late. I don't have to rush to church. I can take my time. I can have my coffee. I can make this stop. I can make that stop. There's not an urgency for me to get to church. Why? Because you're not getting paid to come to church? We'll rush to work. We'll break the law. We'll speed through stop signs to get to work on time because there's something in it for us. But when was the last time that we did something that where we didn't have anything coming back to us? When was the last time that we did something for somebody that couldn't pay us back? When was the last time that, you know, we can have a testimony service and people can get up and they can testify about the goodness of God, how God gave me this, God gave me a miracle, God provided for me, somebody gave me a $50 when I didn't have any money. I'm so blessed because look at everything that God has done for me. But I wonder how long a testimony service would last if we were to get up and talk about the things we had done for other people. If we were to write a list of everything that God has done for us, it would be a lengthy list. We might need a whole spiral notebook to fill it up. But what if we were to make a list of the things that we've done for other people? What if we were to make a list of the times that we've blessed other people or helped other people or been there for somebody? How long would that list be? You see, in this portion of scripture, David is going through a transition period in his life. He has the call of God upon his life to be God's leader there in Israel. But there has to be a shift in his mentality in order for him to walk into his calling, to walk into the purpose that God has for his life. And it starts with David thinking outside of himself and thinking about other people. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for me to think bigger than I've been thinking? Is there not a reason for me to step out of just looking out for myself? Is there not a reason for me to just stop thinking about how I can be blessed? We have a cause. There are people that are hurting, that are lost, that are addicted to drugs and alcohol, men and women that are in prison, that are in loss, without hope, and we're not doing anything about it because we're too concerned about ourselves. We're not willing to sacrifice. We're not willing to give. We're not willing to sacrifice of our time to go to sleep late, to wake up early. We're not ready to do those things because we don't feel that there's anything in it for me. Those of us that have graduated the home or have benefited from being in the home, when was the last time that we went to bless the home? When was the last time that we went to give groceries to the home? When was the last time you went to teach at the home? Or was the last time that you went because you needed help moving or landscaping or for somebody to help you do your yard? When are we going to start to give back for what God has done in our life? In this portion of scripture, Israel is facing the army of the Philistines. They have a giant by the name of Goliath that is going out every morning to challenge the armies of Israel. And he tells them, send me your best warrior. We will fight, and whoever wins, that army will be victorious. And for a number of days, he would go out and he would make the same challenge. God was looking for a hero. God was looking for somebody to step up to the plate. God was looking for somebody to answer the call. God was looking for somebody to step into the cause. And there was nobody that was willing to answer the call until David stepped on the scene. And he looked and he assessed the situation. And he goes, there is a cause here. There is a reason for us to step up. There is a reason for somebody to make a stand. There is a reason for somebody to get a hold of the things of God, because we have a reason. God, our future is at stake. You see, because if they were going to lose, they would become the slaves of the Philistines. If they were to lose, they would be taken into idol worship with the Philistines, because that was their religion. If they were to lose, the future, their security was going to be laid waste. They were going to become slaves. So David said, I can't let this happen. I can't. We have a cause. And I don't think that a lot of times we realize the cause that we have. It goes beyond us. It goes past our little lives. It goes past our 9-to-5 job. It goes past our weekly coming to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. There is a cause that God has called us to. God is looking for men and women that are going to rise up and step out of themselves and meet the challenge of reaching the hurting people of the inner city throughout the world. There is a cause in Albuquerque. There is a cause in New Mexico. There is a cause in the United States of America. There is a cause in Central America. There is a cause throughout the world. God is looking for men and women that are going to stand up and say, I see the cause, God. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to lay down my life. I'm willing to answer the call and preach the gospel to the hurting people of the world. David made a decision within himself. He said, I'm going to answer this call. And you know who came against him? Was his brother. When David started to inquire, you see, because when David started to inquire as to what was going on, it threw shade on his brother and everybody else. Because he was asking, what will be given to the man that takes out the giant? And they said, well, the king's going to give you all kinds of money. You're going to have more feria than you know what to do with. Not only that, you get the king's daughter. So you get feria and a ruca. And then he told them, your family's going to be exempt from taxes. It was a package deal. Everything that anybody could ever hope for. So David starts to look around and he starts to think, well, how come nobody stepped up to the plate? There's so much to gain. There's a reward. There's all kinds of benefits for stepping up to the plate. How come nobody stepped up? So when David started asking, what will be given to the man? People started to think, well, why is he asking? What's he going to do about it? He started throwing shade on all the other people that weren't stepping up to the plate. Because when people start getting busy for Jesus, it starts to expose the people that have been around for a while that aren't doing anything for God. When people start getting busy for Jesus, they got the zeal and they got the excitement of just getting saved, and they're ready to testify. They're ready to go out to the streets. They're ready to tell people about Jesus. And the people in the church that have been here a while just look at them like, yeah, just watch. Just wait 3 years. Just wait a couple of years. His fire is going to die out. I want to see where he's around in 5 years. He's not like me. I've been here for 10 years. I ain't done nothing for God in the last 8 years, but I'm still here. David was exposing the people at that time that weren't stepping up to the plate, so they tried to discourage him. They attacked him in these different methods. The first thing that they attacked was with his past. His brother told them, why aren't you over there with the sheep? Where did you leave the sheep? You're not doing, David, what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be taking care of the sheep. Why are you concerned about these affairs? You should be taking care of your own business. And that's what the world tells us. Don't worry about anybody else. You take care of your own. You take care of your family. You take care of your loved ones. You do for them. Don't worry about anybody else. You take care of you and yours. And they told David, you should be back there. That's what you need to be doing. Take care of your family. You see, because a lot of us, especially those of us that have had messed up lives before we came to Jesus, we think that we deserve a trophy for doing what we should be doing anyway. You get a job, and all of a sudden you want there to be a parade when you come home every afternoon because Mark got a job. You want people clapping and throwing out rose petals for you when you get home. That's what you should be doing. Oh, well, I bought this for my wife, and I bought this for my kids. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're not going to get a pat on the back. You're not going to get a trophy. Nobody's going to write a song about you because you did what you were supposed to do. That's what men are supposed to do. Take care of their families. They're supposed to provide. They're supposed to be out there doing those things, not waiting to get a trophy. Some of us are like that coming to church. We come to church and we want people to lay out the red carpet for us because we showed up. You don't come to church for me. You don't come to church for the pastor. You don't come to church to impress other people. You come to church because we need Jesus in our lives. We need the Word of God in our heart. We need to be a part of a movement of God. We got to be part of the cause, not so that we can get some kind of recognition. You see, people that give to the work of God, if you tithe, don't expect a gold medal. Don't expect a kiss on the forehead from the pastor as you walk out of church on Sunday morning because you gave your tithe. That's what we're supposed to do. As Christians, the Bible commands us to give to the work of God and not expect anything in return. God blesses us and He gives us because of His grace and His mercy, not because He owes us anything. You see, but we come to church with that kind of mentality that we deserve something just for showing up. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to come to church so that we can be equipped to go out and make a difference in the communities that we live in, to make a difference in our jobs, to make a difference in our city, to make a difference in the world that we live in? That's why we come to church, to get equipped, to get prepared, because there is a cause. The Bible says that Eliab told him, I know your heart, you're full of pride. His brother started to attack his character. Your motive is all wrong, David. You're full of pride. You just want people to see that you're doing this great thing. We know what you're all about. You've never done anything in your life for somebody else's benefit. And if they were to say that about all of us here, it'd be true of about 99% of us. Because when we were out there ripping and running, we didn't think of anybody but us. Or was I alone? If it came down to your family eating and you fixing, we were fixing. If it came down to making the rent payment, the mortgage payment, or the car payment, or going and buying an ounce, we were buying an ounce. Or am I the only one? If it came down to those last $20 that your daughter needed for a field trip, those $20 weren't going to the field trip. They were going to the drug connection because you needed to get well. And we come to Christianity. We give our lives to Jesus. We become part of the cause of Christ. And sometimes we want to hold on to that old mentality that we're not going to do something for anybody unless there's something in it for us. Unless I can get something out of this. You see, Eliab, David's brother, told him, we know what's in your heart. You're prideful. You're insolent. You're just thinking about, you're rebellious in nature. You're just doing this to stir up the water. And David responded to him and told him, can't you see the cause? Can't you step out of yourself to see the bigger picture? Can't you step out of yourself to see that there's people that are lost? There's people that are dying. There's people that are confused. There's people that are addicted. There's people that are living in poverty. There's people that need to hear the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you not see the cause? It's not a matter of pride, because when you attach yourself to a cause, it is the opposite of being prideful. Prideful people never attach themselves to a cause, because it's not about them. It's about other people. And could it be that that's one of the reasons or one of the things that is holding us back? Victory Outreach has a tremendous cause. For the last 50 years, brothers and sisters, we have been an international ministry that is reaching drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes all over the world, in the worst places, in ghettos, in barrios, in places, favelas in Central America, where the worst of the worst is. You will find Victory Outreach bringing a message of hope to the people that are lost. We have a cause. There are people in Albuquerque that are losing their lives to drugs and to violence. There is a cause. We need to lay down our pride and think about other people. Quit thinking about just what's in it for me. Let's get involved in what God is doing in our church, in our ministry, in our city, in the ministry of Victory Outreach worldwide. And let's stand up to the challenge and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. People give to a cause. We don't give to the church. Oh, I give all my money to the church. Well, then you gave it to the wrong place, brother. I don't give my money to the church. I give my money to the Lord and to the cause of reaching hurting people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't give it to a building. Now, if there is a building pledge, then I will volunteer, because I believe in the work that is taking place in our church, and I will do what I can in order to make sure that that happens. But when I give my tithe, and when I give my offering, and when I give my United We Can, it goes to the Lord and to the cause, because I believe in reaching hurting people throughout the world with a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when I look at the story of David and Goliath, I look at the story of a bully. Goliath was a bully. He was going out, throwing out his chest and challenging all the armies of Israel. He had them, the Bible says, that they were living in fear, dreadfully afraid, until a young shepherd boy had a change in his mentality, where he realized that the cause was worth the danger involved, where he realized that the cause and the future of his people were worth him stepping up to the plate and trusting God to deliver that giant into his hand. It changed for David when he stopped thinking about the sheep, and he knew that there was more to his calling, there was more to his life than the little sheep that he had out there in the pasture. And he started to look at the future of his people. He started to look at the future of the nation of Israel. He started to look at future generations, and he said, there is a cause. I can't stand by and let this happen. I gotta take action. I gotta trust God. I gotta accept that giant's challenge and say, you know what, if you want to go at it, then you might come with me with a sword and a spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, and God is going to deliver you into my hand. I'm not going to be bullied around anymore. I'm going to start doing what God has called me to do. Aren't you tired of the devil bullying you around? Aren't you tired of him pushing your kids around, creating havoc in our communities, having kids lose their lives to drugs, alcohol, and to violence? Aren't you tired of him threatening you? Aren't you tired of him always yelling every day, telling you that you can't make it, that you'll never amount to anything? The devil telling you that you're going to have that good-for-nothing job all your life, telling you that your relationship's never going to work out, that your kids are never going to change. I challenge you tonight to step out to the plate and say, I'm not going to be bullied anymore. I believe in the cause. I believe that my God is able to deliver me, set me free, and God is able to change my life. Stand to your feet with me this evening. God is looking for heroes tonight. Men and women that will be willing to think outside of themselves, to think outside of their own little world, to think outside of your little job and your family, and to think about the cause. Think about this great work that God has called the Ministry of Victory Outreach Albuquerque to do. God is looking for men and women that are willing to sacrifice, to commit, to do things without expecting anything in return, to be willing to do things for other people, not just for themselves. God is with us, just like David. God has called us. He has anointed us. He has set us apart. He has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. But just like David, we don't step into that calling. We don't step into that anointing. We don't step into everything that God has for us until we take our mind off of just our own and we start to place it on the cause of Christ and the reaching of hurting people throughout the world. Pride, our pride is the enemy of the cause. Humility, sacrifice. When we come to that place in our lives where we can embrace the cause of Christ, the cause of our ministry, and know that it is God that has called us, then we'll be victorious. Then we'll slay the giants in our lives. Then we won't subject to the bullying of the enemy. And every time the enemy tells us that we can't, we'll tell him that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Because it's not just about us anymore. It's about a cause. It's a bigger picture. There's more at stake. There's more to it than just us. If you've been set free from drugs and alcohol, God wants to use your life. God wants you to reach other dope fiends, other alcoholics. If you've been in prison, God wants to use your life to reach hurting people in prison. God has called us, has set us apart, but we need to step out of ourselves and walk into the cause that God has called us to. I'm going to challenge you this evening. I know tonight that God has great things planned for our church and for our ministry. And many times I've had conversations with my pastor and with other people. And we've all come to the same conclusion. You can't teach people to care. It's not something that can be taught. Either somebody cares or they don't care. What makes the difference on whether you care or you don't care is whether or not you've tied yourself to a cause. If you tie yourself to a cause and you start to care about other people, if you tie yourself to a cause, you start to care for others outside of your own little circle. When you start to care, you tie yourself into a cause where you're willing to give, you're willing to sacrifice, you're willing to give financially, you're willing to give of your time, you're willing to show up early and leave late because you've given yourself to a cause. And it's demonstrated by the care. If you're here this evening, I pray to God that God has spoken to your heart. I pray that God has challenged you. And I pray that God has encouraged you this evening to step up into all that God has for you. But the way that we do it is to step away from ourselves and to start to think about other people. If you're in this place tonight, as we get ready to sing this song, and God has ministered to you, God has challenged you, and you say tonight, you know what, there's things in my life that I need to get rid of. I want to tie into the cause of their church, the cause of our ministry, the cause of the cross and of Jesus Christ. I need to separate myself from all those things that are going to prevent me from doing that. I'm going to invite you to come from all over this place and just come and lift your heart and lift your voice before the Lord tonight. Come on, all over this place. Everybody.